Good afternoon, everybody. Today, I'd like to share with you our survey methodology, the survey design, our administration methods, and also the population recruitment of our cross-sectional study. And the reason why we ran this survey was to identify the magnitude of and risk factors for Sharpe's injuries and blood exposures among home healthcare provider population in Massachusetts. So before I go ahead, I would like to acknowledge first my colleagues, and next Roger Sharpe, that's abbreviation from for Safe Home Care and Risk Reduction for Providers, and it consists two units: School of Health and Environment at the University of Massachusetts Lowell, and also Massachusetts Department of Public Health. And we are grateful for NIOSH funding and all our partners, our home healthcare agency partners and unions. And here are our survey major steps. So first, how we started: through networking, we identified our survey partners at the agencies, home healthcare agencies and unions. And at the beginning, so we established a formal work agreement with 8 home healthcare industry agencies and with 2 healthcare union partners. And the second step is a development of a survey instrument. And this was a long process, actually. This started long before before the first step. And very, very first sub-step in the survey instrument development was our qualitative research phase, where we ran 5 focus groups and 10 one-on-one interviews to identify the components, what we really need to ask in the survey. And we also had found very helpful the Massachusetts Department of Public Health bloodborne pathogen surveillance form, and also the CDC bloodborne SARS injury survey and bloodborne pathogen survey that's presented in the CDC workbook. So that's where it started, and we had at least 10 iterations before we had our final instrument that consisted all in all 18 pages and 12 sections, and the chief questions were for asking Sharpe's injuries, blood exposures, but also near misses, Sharpe's injury near misses and blood exposure near misses. So now we have our industry partners, we have our union partners, we have our survey instrument, and the step number 3 is then to recruit actual population. So the designated facilitators at the agencies and unions helped us to distribute the chief recruiting materials, and we had 3 main recruiting materials, which consisted of the pre-survey postcard that alerted all the employees and union members, and this is about to come. And then the next one was this actual survey package, and the survey package had 6 items, and they were, of course, cover letter that was co-signed by our project director and the agency and union leadership member. Then we had an informed consent form, we had a compensation card, then we had our survey instrument, we had a return envelope, a postage paid return envelope, and last but not least, we had a $1 coffee shop coupon as an instantaneous unconditional gratification for considering to participate in the survey. And survey administration, my next slide goes a little bit in depth of the survey administration. So it required that 3 components of the survey package were returned to us, which were informed consent form, compensation card, and survey questionnaire. And the monetary compensation, the stipend, was $25 for participating. And the very first survey package was distributed. It was mid-October 2006, and the last survey came back to us It was early May 2007, so that was a survey administration period. And the last one, a post-administration survey management, so we received at the Project SHARP the survey package from union members and agency employees, and what we did right away, we separated the questionnaire from the compensation card and informed consent form. We gave an ID number, a unique ID number for the questionnaire, and every week a research member from Project SHARP brought those questionnaires to an outside agency for data entry and management. And so let's have a look at a little bit these three options to return our survey. Now, agency employees had all these three options. So the most common option, of course, was to return the survey by mail in a prepaid postage envelope. And then they got compensated by mail with a $25 check. But at the agencies, we also held our survey promotion events, which we call mini fairs. What it means, we went to the work site for 1 to 2 hours to promote our survey, to raise awareness, and people could return the survey in person to us. And then they got compensated $25 in cash. And after the mini fair, and this is the middle method, what I'm explaining. After the mini fair, we left a secure box at the work site. It looked a little bit like a pirate's treasure chest. And then we kept it there about 1 to 2 weeks, and then the employees could leave it there, and after 1 to 2 weeks, we went back, picked it up. And so these were possible, all these three options for agency employees. Now, union members had only one viable option to return the survey back to us, and that was the mail return. And then you might ask, okay, how did your final population look like? So our final sample, thank you, final sample is 1,225, and as you can see, it reflects pretty much the workforce, home healthcare provider workforce in Massachusetts. It's predominantly female and white. And let's go to the next slide. And here is the average age among nurses, 48, age 47, and years, work experience years in home healthcare, about 11 for nurses and 9 for aides and others. And let's look at a little bit into details. What were these job backgrounds of our study population? So our target population were home healthcare nurses and home health aides, which were about 84%. Then we had a smaller number of personal care attendants, homemakers, and in other category are such occupations as physical therapists, occupational therapists, their assistants, and phlebotomists. And now response rates. Our overall response rate was 69%. Then with the agencies, all in all, agency average total was 75%. And you remember, agency employees had three ways to return the survey. Now, union members had only one viable way to return the survey by mail, so that's the reason why the response rate there is lower, 54%. And now, so this presentation has focused on the methods, but of course you ask, might ask, okay, what did you really find out? So do you have any results? So I'll give a sneak peek, two slides, very quickly. So a SHARP's injury prevalence, to answer the question, did you ever in your home healthcare career have a SHARP injury or blood and body fluid exposure? So among nurses, about 35% aids, a little bit more than 6%, and blood and body fluid exposure among nurses, 15%, and aids, 6.7%. And then annual risk, so these are two, just quick sneak peeks. SHARP injury annual risk is 4.3% among nurses, and then blood and body fluid exposure, a little bit more than 5% among nurses. And then just what did we learn with this survey? So surveys, first of all, must be customized for different types of home healthcare jobs. So nurses and health aides, we had our survey instrument developed, and we had to run pilots in two different stages. So what we found out at the first pilot phase was that it took for home health aides a little bit longer time to complete the survey. So it didn't match our 30-minute target at the first. So then we had to make some adjustments in our survey instrument so that also home health aides could complete, fill it out easily. So then, besides the traditional survey questions, fixed variables, agree-disagree, Likert scale options, we also had some qualitative narratives to find out that, okay, please tell us, how did the injury happen? What were you doing immediately before? Or what prevented a near miss being an accident? So that deepened our understanding about the exposures and injuries. And now, interestingly, so the third point here is that because we had three ways to return the questionnaire, we run chi-square tests to test the independence that what happens, so those employees and union members who reported blood-borne pathogen exposures, so they more likely returned the survey by mail, both with Sharpe's injuries and blood and body fluid exposures. So as so this is my last slide, and as Laura mentioned at the very beginning, the work nature and work organization for the home healthcare provider population, it's really challenging. So this survey has to take into account this complex work organization. They are highly mobile working population. Their schedules vary very much, and they do their work highly independently. And that's why also the co-sponsorship and assistance from the union agency partners is crucial. And there's no question about that. The monetary compensation, instant gratification, of course that results in a better response rate. Nevertheless, I would say that nurses, health aides, both, they wanted to know that this survey was worth of their time, no matter what was the monetary compensation. And they wanted to know that the results and findings of the study, they would contribute to the interventions and recommendations, whether it is at the practice or policy level. That's my presentation. Thank you very much.